G'day, Martin, from day 11 of home quarantine.
Why are you quarantining? Oh, because you went to Canberra.
Yeah, I went to Canberra, so I'm at home in Hobart in quarantine here, keeping a safe distance from everyone I live with.
Okay.
But very much looking forward to getting out.
Yeah, I thought politicians were exempt, but obviously not, so it's good to see you have to follow the same rules as the rest of us, I guess.
No, same as everyone else.
Exactly. Some really good news yesterday in that the Prime Minister has again indicated that he's going to fast-track the Mariners Link project. To me, though, when I first heard this, I thought, haven't they already announced that? So what's different about yesterday's announcement to what was announced a month ago?
Well, what was announced yesterday is the money to get this project on the track. There have been a lot of conversations, because this is a very complex project, laying a cable, a power cable across Bass Strait through one of the roughest stretches of water in the world, which is going to have to last us generations as well, by the way. I mean, this piece of infrastructure is going to cost a lot of money. It is difficult to design and complex to lay out.
And needs to be bulletproof by the sound of it as well.
Just about. I mean, we've seen what happens when cables go out. Only a couple of years ago, we had that problem where we had to import diesel generators as a result of a cable going out. But so it is a complex project. It takes a lot of work from a lot of highly qualified people, engineers and the like, to design this. So there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes. But yesterday's announcement was locking in the funding for the next stages of the Mariners Link. It's one of three major projects across the country that's going to attract $250 million in securing energy supply. And the real beauty of this one is, Martin, that once Mariners Link is built, it will unlock the potential for our Battery of the Nation projects, the increased capability to generate renewable, clean energy right here in Tasmania and sell it to the mainland. We're the winners out of this, and they're saying that by the time Mariners and Battery of the Nation are completed, there will have been around 3,800 direct and indirect jobs added to both Northwest Tassie and regional Victoria, and $7 billion of economic stimulus pumped into each of those economies. So Tasmanians are real winners out of this, and we will be into the future, because it's our energy that we're selling that is renewable, that's never going to run out, and we're the ones who are going to benefit from it.
So why do we need a second interconnector? Can't we do all this with Basslink? And I know that they're talking about interconnectors between New South Wales and Victoria and Victoria and South Australia as well. They won't be duplicated, though, will they?
So, look, we basically, with Basslink, we have limited capacity. This is about expanding capacity. If we're going to generate more energy to unlock the capacity to develop more energy generation assets, be they hydro, be they wind, or any other form of energy generation, we need the capacity to be able to sell it. You've got coal-fired power coming offline in Victoria. You've got other ageing infrastructure on the mainland. What we'll be doing is broadening the capacity, increasing the capacity so that we can actually send our clean energy across. Basslink is there and that'll continue to operate, but this gives us the opportunity and the capacity to send more of it across, generating more revenue for us to pay for essential services here in Tasmania, like health and education.
Yep, and of course, if one of them breaks, we have the backup of the other one, which we didn't
indeed
have a few years ago.
Plan B.
Yeah. The Tourism Research Australia Group released some interesting statistics last week showing that regional tourism is starting to rebound. We've been, our state government's been really pushing it here that we should get out and explore our regions of our own state, but it's nationally it's also improving as well.
Well, it is. I think so. The stats that were released were around the amount of expenditure for the month of June. So, looking at the month of June, we saw an increase of $1 billion from the month of May when it came to tourism in regional communities. That is everywhere outside of our national gateway cities. So, your Sydney's, Melbourne's, Perth's, and Brisbane's. We saw a $1 billion uptick, which is more than double what the month of May was.
Well, now we know that's hardly surprising, though, because of the pandemic.
Correct, that's right. Everyone was locked up at home, desperate to get out of their rumpus rooms and kitchens and living rooms and go and see the world again. So borders, open to a degree in some parts of the country and restrictions lifted, people wanted to get out. So that's what we're seeing, but you made a point at the beginning of talking about this topic, and it's an important one. It is the start of the rebound. There is a long way to go for the tourism and hospitality sectors before we see things get back to normal, and I think Tasmanians are to be commended. I know they've all wanted to get out of their homes and go to restaurants, cafes, spend time away in nice hotels and experience some great tourism offerings. But The fact is they have shown support for local businesses and they have gone out. I mean, there are some places where you've got waiting lists for accommodation for months in parts of Tasmania. And I know a lot of the great eating establishments around the state, in every part of the state, have full books when they're opening, particularly on weekends. So, you know, Tasmanians have done their bit and these figures bear that out. But we do have a long way to go, and there's a lot of support that I know that state and federal governments will be showing to the industry in partnership with the community, the people that actually support these businesses. And they are the lifeblood of regional communities. In so many parts of the coast, as you know, Martin, businesses depend on visitors, particularly tourism and hospitality businesses. And so I hope Tasmanians, until the borders open, continue to patronise these businesses and keep people in jobs.
Yeah, I think that'll be the big thing, won't it, when we open our borders up again and hopefully and Victoria's in a much better place. We'll see it really take off, and I'll be interested to see what the figures reflect then. Finally, Jono, interesting photo on your Facebook page where you visited a seedling farm, I guess for want of a better word, but these are seedlings that turn into forest products like eucalyptus and radiata pine and things like that as well. But we plant an enormous amount of seedlings every year, apparently.
Yeah, well, this is right. We do, across the country every year, plant enough seedlings to cover an area equivalent to around 136,000 football fields, which is, when you think about it, and you look at a football field from end to end, that's quite an area. So every year, that's what's going into the ground, and that's an important fact to remember. We've talked about it before on your program. People don't like seeing trees cut down. The reality is we replant what is cut down for forestry purposes, and that number bears that out. And another good factoid is that for every home built, an average Australian home, which you know contains on average around 12 cubic metres of wood, be that a radiata pine or something similar for framing or flooring, you're seeing around 3 tonnes of carbon stored as well. So there's immense environmental benefits for that. And so it was a great pleasure to take part in National Tree Seedling Plantation Day and put some seedlings in the ground and see what happens over the course of the life of a tree, how they grow. That picture you saw on my Facebook, that was radiata pine. They grow for about 28 years before they're harvested and turned into whatever product they might be destined to become, housing, framing or similar products. But there's a huge amount of science that goes into it and a lot of expertise. We do it better here in the world than anywhere else. And I commend the men and women who work in that industry because they do a great job, particularly in winter when it's almost snowing where some of these trees are planted.
Yeah. And it's a renewable resource too, which is important. And my late mother used to work for the forestry. So I remember her telling me when I was young that the reason we plant radiata pine in Tasmania is because it's one of, even though 28 years might sound like a long time, in timber terms, it's one of the shortest harvest yields, I guess, or one of the shortest harvest times anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. And it is one of the most versatile timbers as well. We grow it well here because of the nature of our topography and the climate. So it's relatively easy to grow, you know. So, but it has so many applications and is, when well managed, something that is a good resource. And as you say, and as the industry like to say, it's the ultimate renewable because every time you plant a tree, it's going to grow. And every time we cut one down, on average in the country, we have 10 to replace every one that is cut down. So, it's a good stat to remember. And so why we as Australians, particularly Tasmanians, should be proud of our forest industry.
Terrific. Jono, thanks very much for your time as always today. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Indeed, Martin. Take care and we'll catch up soon.